Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Wednesday Night War Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hampler and Michael Sidrick, to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review the Wednesday Night War for now, and if you want to know our thoughts ahead of AEW Dynamite, that is available as a podcast right now. We also review Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, they're joined by Hamlet and Sidgwick to look ahead to NXT tonight and the go home show ahead of TakeOver Stand and Deliver, Michael Hamlet.
Yeah. We last reviewed the Wednesday Night War in December 2019, didn't we? We've since been reviewing AEW Dynamite and NXT. The ratings, the viewership, should I say, not the overall ratings, but the viewership has suggested quietly that NXT has done an okay job of building this takeover. This two-night takeover, two separate cards, which typically wouldn't suggest that there's too much action for one night. You know, there's typically the five matches has sort of suited NXT's last couple of years because there's not been that much more bubbling underneath than the five or six big matches. The idea that we're getting two nights of it for WrestleMania week would imply that these shows are just bursting with stars waiting to break out with gripping storylines. And yet, much like NXT's champion, I can't help feeling like this war, it's gone in like a lion and out like a cat, because I can't feel any of that pre-takeover buzz. I am not one of that viewership that is racing on a Wednesday night to watch NXT first. So I welcome it tonight, I guess. They've got one huge, big, daft match as part of a big, daft build. Very, very mid-pandemic 2020 NXT energy about it. Yeah, for the most part, almost universally in terms of the Stand and Deliver cards, I'm looking for buzz and excitement. With the exception of Ciampa and Walter, I kind of need it from virtually every other match on the card.
Yeah, I'm not really too fussed about tonight's NXT. I'm not going to watch it with any great anticipation. Maybe last week's rating. Because Raw's ratings, inexplicably, I know this week's wasn't particularly impressive, and they're not impressive considering what this company is capable of. Let's just say that as well. But like, they've been holding steady. They've improved on the previous years in terms of percentage drops, like, massively. Maybe it's just 'tis the season, and people are just desperate to feel like wrestling fans again. I don't know. I can't explain why AEW isn't at least doubling overall viewership on this absolutely parody of an intense wrestling melodrama. But speaking subjectively, I don't know what to do in terms of the angles here. I suspect they're just going to have realized, you know what, we're good at video packages. Let's do a lot of video packages and one long slog of a match that will eat up some TV time. And let's do some stuff with Tian Sha that isn't going to inform TakeOver, but we've been building for a long time.
I don't know if it's because I just got out the right side of bed this morning, but I'm really looking forward to TakeOver. Probably because, as we often talk about, as much as we've not been a fan of the build, and it's weird when I chat with someone like Gareth, who obviously does the NXT ups and downs, about how positive he is about that brand and the disconnect between the three of us and him and other people online, to be fair. As we always say, though, next Wednesday and Thursday, it's going to be great. Like, there's going to be great matches on NXT. Like, Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez is going to be amazing. Hopefully, one of my favorite tag teams, the Grizzled Young Veterans, next Wednesday, they're going to leave as tag team champions. We've got, as you mentioned, Walter, Tommaso Ciampa. And then night two, you've got the unsanctioned match, which is, despite all the bollocks that we've seen with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, is going to be wild because it's Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly. Gargano is going to face the winner of the Mad Gauntlet Eliminator thing we're about to get onto. Got a ladder match, the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, and of course, Finn Balor versus Karrion Kross for the NXT Championship. So I am looking forward to it. And hopefully, like you say, tonight, it will encourage people who maybe, like us, have certainly, I don't know whether we've lost our way or the booking has lost its way in NXT, but maybe gone off the boil, certainly, with NXT. Hopefully tonight that will be turned around. And there's some mad stuff to look forward to. We'll talk about that Tian Sha showdown. What do you want to talk about first, Hamley? Do you want to talk about this Battle Royal or the fact that two people in the Battle Royal are also having a singles match tonight?
What? Christ. Are they? So they're good double duty?
Yeah, Roderick Strong, Cameron Grimes are having a one-on-one match because Roderick Strong chinned him last week, and then they're both in that thing that I'm going to have to explain in great detail in a second.
Well, I think the reason that this is happening is because they've thought about Strong and Grimes for TakeOver, and then have instead thought that Strong is the guy to win the North American title. So I actually think he's going to, the match probably thrown out, NXT doesn't rely on finishes anymore, but they'll have something. They'll have a pretty good singles match, maybe, but then Strong will win the Battle Royal. The feud won't be over. There'll still be afters that need to happen between Strong and Cameron Grimes. It might even be that they're the last two in the Gauntlet Eliminator on night one of TakeOver. I see Strong going all the way through this. I think it's quite a nice story to tell that as the Undisputed Era have exploded, and both Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, in their own different ways, have kind of just extricated themselves from Roderick Strong. He then proves what he had all along by himself and wins the title, like alongside that. I think that's quite a nice way to get what has been, in my opinion, like a pretty lousy Undisputed Era split. How to like transform it into something quite good. You've got these two just exploding on night two. And in the meantime, you've got Roderick Strong earning some of the singles success that he's been unable to get from under Adam Cole, specifically his wing, over the past couple of years. And I do wonder if that's why they're doing the first singles match tonight. It's not going to be anything close to what we can imagine from these two, because Strong goes on and wins the belt and all that sort of stuff. And then Cameron Grimes is your big first contender for that belt.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. And should win it, obviously. Well, let's talk about the Battle Royal then. We sort of mentioned the Roderick Strong Cameron Grimes match. I kind of agree that it's either not going to have a finish or the finish won't really matter by the end of the night because of their involvement in this. I thought I'd test both of you. Can you name the 12 men? Because basically, if you're unaware, there is going to be a Battle Royal tonight, 12 men in it. The six men left, so there'll still be a winner of the Battle Royal, but the first six are just straight out eliminated. Then the final six, that determines their rankings. It's literally TNA's bloody Fight for the Right tournament, this. That determines their rankings for a gauntlet match that's going to go on night one of TakeOver. And the winner of the gauntlet on night two of TakeOver faces Gargano for the North American Championship. But can you name, we'll go back and forth, we'll see if you can alternate, the 12 men in this. Because I was trying this with Gareth last week and we were struggling. Right, so Sid, you start us off. Give me one name.
Cameron Grimes.
Correct, that's one. Hamflet.
Roderick Strong.
Two.
Kushida.
Three.
Dexter Lumis.
Four.
Pete Dunne.
Five.
Austin Theory.
Six.
Bronson Reed.
Seven.
I'm going to struggle after this.
I thought I'd already done the biggest crime, but Dead Air's even worse, isn't it? I'm gonna throw some theory. Jake Atlas.
Atlas, correct. Eight. Four to go.
Man. I'm trying to think of a funny noise I can make while I'm waiting. You know what's a really funny noise, right? I was watching an old Simpsons episode where I think Homer's forgets that it's Valentine's Day, ducks out the bathroom window, jumps out the house, runs to the quickie mart, and Apu, senseless desperation, like overcharges him for something he wants to buy. And Apu says, I'll just wait here while you make a decision. He goes, dee-dee-dee-la. Dee-dee-dee-la.
Oh, man. A former North American champion you've missed.
Well, it's not Damien Priest.
Oh, I know who that is.
Because he's the existing... Oh, Leon Ruff.
Leon Ruff, correct. Three to get, Hamflet.
Oh, this is like that bit in one of your big quizzes where somebody's just had the only name you could have had. Oh, I don't know. Swerve?
Swerve is correct. Two to go. Nearly there, lads.
Like the dovetailing book in there. Oh my god, I've had Bronson Reed.
We've had Bronson Reed.
That's what it feels like watching one of his matches every week. Have we had him yet?
LA Knight's not in it, is he?
LA Knight is correct, Michael Sidgwick. Hamlet, take it home.
Christ, the big new star getting into the tech, like number 11. Is that LA Knight guy? Is he buried yet? Is he finished?
I will say this is the name that I couldn't remember when me and Gareth were going through it. So,
I don't know. Boa.
No. It's so confident, so wrong. I'll put you both back in misery. It's Tyler Rust. Tyler Rust, who I'm not sure if I mentioned this. He reminds me a bit of Simon Pegg.
Shut up, man. Shut up, man.
So one day,
WWE's going to embrace intergender wrestling and they're going to do August Gray versus Shayna Baszler, and I'm just going to have to just switch off. Run from it. It's Simon Pegg.
And hopefully by the end of that match, he will have some red on him, to be fair. Watch six are going, who's winning? Which are the final six? Like, it's so bloody complicated, this Sidge.
Right, okay. The Cameron Grimes thing, Roderick Strong match, is just a weird spanner in some weird works. It completely overcomplicates something that's already incredibly overcomplicated. The last six, we'll go with... Oh, God, I couldn't possibly care. Kushida, Pete Dunne, Bronson Reed got a big win. Let's see if that matters.
LA Knight took that exact loss. Let's see if that matters.
Austin Theory, because Gargano could commentate. It's another story there. I forgot who's in it.
Roddy Strong and Cameron Grimes. There you go.
Yeah.
Any other people you think could make it through? I think I did the opposite. I was like, well, who's definitely going out? And that's Jake Atlas, Tyler Rust, obviously, Leon Ruff, Swerve, probably. I think maybe Austin Theory gets eliminated. I don't know. Maybe they do Bronson Reed and LA Knight take each other out. Who knows? But there is only one winner that should win this, because you can't have a baby face be coming in last in the gauntlet. So the winner has to be Cameron Grimes to the moon. Any arguments, Hamlet?
I mean, no, I agree with your prediction. I can't be as enthusiastic as you. I do agree. I think, yeah, Cameron Grimes is a perfect winner for this, obviously, having the biggest advantage going into the gauntlet eliminator. Maybe have Strong be eliminated much earlier and have to work really hard at winning the shot in the gauntlet. I could see Austin Theory being Gargano's hope spot on TakeOver Night 1. So, yeah, I think he could make it too. Similarly, I could see Loomis being Gargano's theoretical worst nightmare, but them kind of cancelling each other out. So maybe Loomis probably makes it to TakeOver as well.
It's still bad on Loomis. Like, he's probably going to go through. And the idea is they've been putting them on telly and putting them on telly and putting them on telly and telling the story about how he's like been involved with the Wave for the past however many months, and they've probably got the production meeting ahead of TakeOver and thought, he's crap, we can't put him in a singles.
Can't actually do it. Pete Dunne, I guess.
I think maybe Pete Dunne and Kushida might take each other out. Actually, I realize I just booked that for the others, but maybe they'll put them in the wrestler thing. So
yeah, they're gonna have a match. But yeah, as you said, like they'll still be in the gauntlet, but they'll probably further that build in the last six match or whatever the hell the last six, the crap beyond. Let's call it that.
It's funny to me that if and when LA Knight doesn't make it, that's funny. It's taken a month, and like it's what is he 38? You've not got all the months to play with. Probably best cracking on, like that young stud.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
What else do you expect to happen tonight in terms of the go-home aspect of TakeOver Stand and Deliver? I think, like you said, Walter and Ciampa is kind of set up. I really hope Walter just chops someone tonight, if I'm perfectly honest. I've still got that thing missing from the Drake Maverick match last week, although Drake Maverick did tweet, "I'm still alive" or "I'm alive" or something after the back, off the back.
Of course.
What other matches do you need to see more stuff from Hamflet for you?
I don't know how they arrive at it, and I'm not predicting this with the implication that any of it's going to be any good, but it feels as though, and I know we've not yet got to the thing we're probably most excited about previewing, it feels as though, considering how brand new the belts are, Shotzi and Ember are quite a glaring omission from Stand and Deliver currently. Doesn't say much for establishing these belts to then not have them defended on the first TakeOver. There's no feud, there's no programme, but that's never stopped them setting something up instantly before. And I do wonder if the victors of the thing that we're very excited about previewing maybe just get an instant title shot. And
The way confronted them as well last week, didn't they?
The Way did, yeah. That's so I've got to give them like a partial credit then, I guess, yeah, because they've at least gotten the trouble of filming
partial
one
credit from Mr. Hamlet grading these children of NXT.
Filming one vignette of a bit of aggro in the corridor to set up a potential TakeOver match, just like the glory days of TakeOver, corridor aggro. Maybe that actually. I was gonna say the big winners of the match later on tonight would be the ones to get the shot against Shotzi and Ember and win. And it'd be really, really fun to watch Shotzi and Ember's not that endearing baby face run, get ground to dust by that act. However, yeah, probably the Way. Maybe a shoving match. I don't know. A shoving match with the Way and the tag champions. And the only thing that William Regal can do to separate them, other than just easily separating them, is book it for TakeOver in a barbed wire exploding death match. Stipulations on either of those nights.
I really hope at the end of this week's NXT, just to explain ahead, it'll just be me and Hamflet tomorrow. Basically, Mark Sidrick is writing the ups and downs article, but he will be joining us for the review of it. He's writing ups and downs, sorry, for AEW Dynamite. So he'll be missing from the NXT review. So I'm desperate for them to do the walk on and confront each other for every match at Takeover. And I can just go, Michael Sidgwick isn't here because he's had an aneurysm. His brain exploded because he couldn't take it. He couldn't handle them setting this unsanctioned match up by having them stare each other in the eyes. Right, we've put it off for long enough, Sidge. There is predicted a Tian Sha showdown tonight. Tian Sha being the stable featuring Xia Li Boa and the 1,000-year-old dragon-killing woman. Is she going to get in the ring tonight, Sidge?
Didn't kill a dragon. Dragon trained her.
Sorry, yes.
Dragon trained warrior princess who's 1,000 years old.
She trained the ghost in way of the dragon.
Hey, they could do like a corporate ministry. Put them two together. They call them Way of the Dragon. realistically, I just can't wait for this. The box. It's like the chair, the ancient. Like the first thing I'm going to do once I finish Dynamite is I'm going to prepare some notes. I'm going to hop online, see what the crack is. And then I'm just going to go straight to the YouTube page and go for that isolated clip of what could be, in fact, a clip. The idea is, if you trace it all back, she has been for thousands of years, she's embodied this legacy or whatever, and she's turned hapless losers into total mercenary killers. And it's been smoke, mirrors, flash, ridiculous stuff. And at some point, then the bell rang. Like, the bell's going to have to ring and it's going to have to look like the best thing ever, else this is going to look like a total joke. And it kind of is, but it's like, I mean, we can't, it's this most enigmatic bit of quality we've ever seen on NXT. It's so close to falling apart. To its immense credit, it hasn't, but it's probably going to tonight, let's face it. It's going to get spoofed online, this, isn't it?
I don't know, like, not anticipation's high. Like, not since the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a pandemic, I've actually wanted to see Casey Catanzaro hanging out with people, as I do for this right here tonight. I cannot wait. They have in... What's great, right, is they have in Carter and Catanzaro two... I think they've done an okay job of establishing them as, like, a proper babyface tag team, an earnest act that have got... That have got the skills, but have maybe not yet got the experience. They're going to build wins over the years. And like you saw them in the Dusty Cup, and you can kind of, they're very beatable. But when you see those flashes of what they can offer, you think, oh, eventually, like their journey one day to winning those belts is going to be pretty cool. You might see them sacrificed to like people in the wrestling equivalent of a pantomime cow outfit tonight. Like, they might have, I don't, is it going to be some like a dragon mask with a sheet over the top of it? Like, that act might be fed to this. Or like, it could be awesome. I kind of think I'm with Sidgwick. I don't know how this can possibly deliver. But Xia Li has sort of delivered. So, yeah. so maybe it's going to be great. Maybe the violence is going to be the thing we're going to talk about the most. But it's just too hard to, like... the fat burn lobster fiend was on a swing on Raw. This is what this company is doing right now with this sort of stuff. So it's hard to imagine Xia Li booting somebody's face off versus a kabuki mask on top of a Halloween ghost outfit.
I think I'm genuinely more excited to see this than Christine Cage's in-ring debut, having thought I genuinely am. I don't know. It's such a guilty pleasure of mine. And thinking about it, I don't know why, but all I can think about is Willy Wonka, right? In terms of, remember when Willy Wonka was walking to the, in the good Willy Wonka, Gene Wilder one, not the Johnny Depp one, he's walking to the gates and his cane gets stuck in the floor and he, oh, bloody hell, look how old and broken down he is. Whoa, forward roll. That's what I want the 1,000-year-old dragon trained woman to be like. I don't know, but I honestly, like you say, Sidge, if you are only watching NXT for one thing, make it be this, because yeah, I can see Casey Catanzaro getting murdered, which I take some sort of morbid pleasure in at the moment. And yeah, I'm really excited to see what they do next, because I like what they've done with Xia Li as well. Like, it's given her a new lease of life, and those vignettes made us interested again. Hamlet.
She has to be. She has to be the best and most dominant wrestler of all time. Otherwise, 1,000 years is a long time to train to just be pretty good. Oh yeah, yeah. She came to the Performance Center at 1,000, which is marginally older than Knight. Let's see what she's got. Let's see what she's got. The Performance Center is 1,000.
The lineup of all the straight face property, the Performance Center t-shirt guys, but her at the end with like the dragon ghost mask on.
Well, she worked PWG, she worked Evolve, you know. She was even working MLW when that was one of the bigger ones back.
1,000 years. You want to see the size of a cage match profile?
I'm just gonna schedule a tweet.
1,000-year-old dragon lady's a good wrestler, pass it on.
LA Knight, 38. Damian Priest, 39. Dragon Ghost, 1,000. Come on, WWE.
Finally, I want to wrap up as NXT is wrapping up on Wednesday nights with your thoughts on the end of NXT on Wednesday nights and the end of the Wednesday Night War, Michael Sidgwick. Me and Hamlet are going to do a whole podcast about this, which will be out on Saturday, so make sure you check that one out. But Sid, as the more AEW representative, how do you feel about this war coming to an end?
It has been a war for a long, 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 long time. Ultimately, as I've said all along, both shows showed their hands on night one. AEW created a big bang of storytelling that culminated in absolutely unforeseen and horrendous circumstances at Double or Nothing, and yet it was still magnificent. That is the perfect illustration for the philosophy that completely embodied both shows. NXT gave away its biggest match and continued to do really desperate booking, like Adam Cole and Keith Lee working a cliche of an NXT match under the illusion that I had this great heft was just an insult, and you do those things and they descend into parody, much like they did, and it was typical of their booking. What happened is that because AEW had done so much work and because AEW had created such a platform for expression, those two things collided, no-sold the most depressing time of our generation and created Stadium Stampede. That's a succinct take as I can put it. What AEW did is that I will forever treasure the golden period of NXT, 2015 to 2018, even though it kind of mutated into a soulless pursuit of critical acclaim by the end of the golden era. And I'm more fond of the niceness that it used to be. What AEW's done has made me, and I think several others looking at the viewership, realize, hang on, NXT, it really wasn't the alternative we thought it was. It was just a drastically better alternative to WWE, but it was still sports entertainment all along, you know. It wasn't pro wrestling. The unscripted promos, the range, the expression, it's just as pro wrestling came back, and it wasn't NXT, and people wanted pro wrestling. That's all it for me.
As people are keen to say to me every time I post the Twitter vote on a Thursday morning, the real winners here are the fans, etc., etc. But do you think it will be more beneficial for everyone, for AEW, for NXT, and for wrestling fans with NXT moving to Tuesday nights? I mean, we've got a week of wrestling now, effectively. Mondays, you've got Raw, Tuesdays, NXT, Wednesday, Dynamite, Thursday, Impacts, Friday, SmackDown, along with a whole host of other shows, which are well worth checking out. But yeah, do you think you'll enjoy NXT more, perhaps? Because I certainly have found, and I don't know if it's just because I'm becoming more and more of a grumpy old bastard, but I certainly have found, Sidge, that it's a chore more so to watch NXT, more arguably more so than Raw. I don't know, I think because I watch Dynamite and then I watch NXT. So do you think that's going to maybe change a few perceptions, ours included?
Indeed, it's not just a physical fatigue thing for viewers on this side of the pond where you have to get up early to catch both shows and then do a full day of work. Or for those who don't cover it for a living, that might watch AEW Dynamite when they get in from work and then I'll catch up on NXT, and that never really happens. Look at the ratings from when, was it the basketball or the hockey or the baseball or whatever it was? In like, I think it was August last year when certain seasons were renewed in a time that they didn't usually. So both NXT and AEW had to go unopposed certain weeks. AEW went unopposed one week and then NXT had to do the next and or vice versa. And both shows grew in viewership. This will happen again. And for me personally, yes, it's a total chore watching NXT because it's not just the experience of watching Dynamite. It's the fun of the interaction, the engagement, hopping online, swapping takes, just the experience of fandom, water cooler, digital water cooler stuff. Mm. You miss out on that by the goddamn obligation to catch up on NXT as well. So yeah, it has to be a better show. I won't care about it either way if it's not a better show than it is right now. But can they recover it? I don't think so. I think it's dead. But I'll give it a better chance.
Tuesday gives it the best possible chance of recovering it, I think. I get why people say it, but I don't particularly agree. That whole idea that like, oh, why must you compare? It's like, well, it's kind of natural. Like you're going to do that. You're going to compare and contrast. NXT's moving from having to compare itself against the worst possible thing to compare it against to the very best. People are going to compare this more like to Monday Night Raw than they are because it's going to follow on a Tuesday. You're going to have exhausted yourself on all the worst excesses of Monday Night Raw and then be quite glad of something better. NXT will probably, at its worst, be a bit better than Raw rather than having to try and stand up to a Dynamite that over time, especially in the pandemic, like that was really stark most weeks, just how one show knew what it was doing and the other really, really didn't. I think the Tuesday slot in particular gives NXT the best possible chance of maybe saving itself, maybe finding so much of what's been lost in what those. I agree with Cedric. I think when we saw the alternative to the quote-unquote alternative, it did pull back the curtain a bit on NXT. But the letters can still mean something. It's just they've got a job on to try and find what that is.
It's such a good thing in sports, good sports entertainment.
Mm, yes.
For me, it's been forever diminished by the full return of professional wrestling and the artistic endeavour, the individual artistic endeavour that's built it.
But as I say, me and Hamflut are going into more detail, really delving into it in a podcast that will come out on Saturday. So make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling for that. But let's just acknowledge the real winners here. And that's my podcast schedule, because the preview review schedule I've got coming up after WrestleMania is a piece of piss. Thank you very much for that one. Right, let's conclude with the ratings. I asked this question purely because I've got it written down rather than because I believe it. Who will win the Wednesday Night War this week? Last week, AEW 757,000 plays, NXT 678,000. I was closest. This week, I'm going for 775 for AEW, play 700 for NXT. An improvement for both shows for you, Sidge, this week?
There or thereabouts. What was NXT last week?
678.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I think both shows will improve. Don't know. I just think people think, oh, take over on telly. They might be into this build. Who knows? And the sneaker 7.5 out of somewhere, some weeks NXT. I just feel like it's going to be one of those weeks with the build and all the rest of it. So I think NXT will get 735. And I think that even though it's been underwhelming, I do think the in-ring return of Christian Cage, like he popped a goddamn number when he actually didn't return against Randy Orton. So maybe the fact that, check it out, it's Christian. And the idea is, even though the build's been woeful and it's just completely contradicted the idea of why you should build something, the fact that they're finally blowing this off in a fun gimmick match, I think they'll just hit that 800 that has eluded them. So 800 versus 735.
Hamlet? I just liked how check it out, it's Christian was still more enthusiastic than Todd Grisham's ECW call in 2000.
That's a good idea.
check it out, it's Christian. I've gone lower on NXT this week. I've just gone for the 800, 600 generic because battle royals and video packages aren't traditionally hooks. I still don't know if this is the AEW spike week yet, the post-revolution dip. Like on paper, I'm not sure that the card is, but then, you know, we're fooled by these ratings all the time. So yeah, just 800, 600 simples. This is the last one, isn't it? Like, next week's a takeover, isn't it? So this is the last the final NXT in its old form, I guess, isn't it? Because it's a takeover next week. It's kind of like the metrics are slightly different. So,
yeah, very interesting to see how things play out this week before next week's winner takes all, of course. right, let us know your thoughts ahead of both shows tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch so you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflut at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. You can hear the preview of AEW Dynamite right now. You'll hear the reviews of both shows there tomorrow. And as I said, on Saturday, myself and Michael Hamflett going into great detail about NXT moving to Tuesday nights, of course. But for now, this has been the Wednesday Night War preview of NXT. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.